exhausting. Sorry.
Just name, pronounce your name the way it's supposed
to be. I'm sorry.
Can barely. Hey, Twisted listeners. Ooh, Twisted readers.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah.
Yeah. Book talk time.
Book talk time. Now, I found this book and...
She did.
I kind of stray away from supernatural anything, but this did it in such a way that I texted you and I said, I'm enjoying this book. And sometimes when I enjoy a book, Jen, like, is my voice of reason, like, no, that's not something we want to talk about. Anyway, it's asked.
So interesting that, yeah, Kim recommended the book to me, and then I've read two other books by the author now as well.
Okay. Ask for Andrea. Do we want to go ahead? Mm-hmm. I'll let you. You're very good at kind of telling the story.
All right. I'm gonna give the synopsis of it. So, Megan, Brescia, and Skye have just one thing in common. They were all murdered by the same man. He hunted them online, masquerading as an eligible bachelor. And then he played the perfect gentleman, a thick layer of charm and a 1,000-watt smile, hiding the fact that his first dates end in shallow graves. He's gotten away with murder 3 times now. The only thing that might keep him from killing again? The women he murdered. Megan, Brescia, and Skye might be dead, but they're not gone. They found each other, and they won't rest until they find a way to stop him. The haunt is on. I will tell you that that synopsis really doesn't do this book justice. It sets up each of the characters, like, with their first date and from their point of view, about how they're excited to be. They're meeting this guy that they met on XYZ site, right?
Like, yes.
One of them, and I'm sorry, I don't remember now, like, which girl is which name goes with which girl. But one of the girls is meeting him in a bar.
Yeah.
He has roofied her drink, and she doesn't, she has doubts. Like, she, you know, the little niggling,
yes,
suspicions that you get that you don't act on when you just know something is not right, but you, like, rely on hope instead of common sense.
This is online dating. And
yeah, it,
mm-hmm. Right. And so I think part of a couple of things, like, and we'll go into, like, there will be spoilers. So if you haven't read the book, stop now. But basically, I think one of the things we always think about, especially when people are missing or murdered and we don't know the story, how would it be if that person could tell the story, if they could come back, or if they could somehow, mm-hmm, give some clue or lead someone in a direction to find the murderer? So basically what's happening is the girls who have been killed they're still on Earth in their form. They're not alive, but they're still able to follow and understand what's happening with this guy, and eventually are able to give clues to finding him. And so that's the supernatural part, because the murdered girls are the ones leading the investigation, basically.
Yeah, in a very subtle type of a way. They're able to do things like, when they're together or if they're really angry or emotional, make his computer shut off. So one of the girls follows him home, like, goes home with the murderer, and basically, I would say,
as a
like,
kind of a
lives
ghost
with him, yeah, as a ghost, like, supernatural being ghost type thing. And it's much better than it sounds. Like, she gets to know that he's married to a really nice girl. He has 2 daughters,
mm-hmm,
and he is an absolute
monster. Right. So basically, this is one of the reviews. Prior to reading this book, I didn't know about what effects date rape drugs can have, or the importance of knowing when to ask for Andrea. So asking for Andrea. So basically, it was in the bathroom, right? Or in the, somehow there was a flyer or
a flyer.
That says, if you're in trouble, if you need help, ask for Andrea, meaning that's the bartender, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
hey, is Andrea working tonight?
Yeah. And that person will help you out of whatever situation you're in.
In real life, there was a campaign that started in England that's called Ask for Angela, which it's the name of a campaign in England that started in 2016 that is used by bars and other venues to keep people safe from sexual assault by using a code word to identify when they are in danger or are in an uncomfortable situation. When an establishment uses this program, a person who believes themselves to be in danger can ask for Angela, who is a fictitious member of the staff. And then the staff will then help the person get home discreetly and safely by either escorting them to a different room, calling them a taxi, calling the police if necessary, or asking the other party member to leave the establishment. Posters are always placed in the stall doors inside toilets of the establishment where that campaign takes place. So this was based on that. I don't know why she changed the name. But I've also seen, like, somebody on Reddit said, what happens if someone named Angela gets a job at a bar? But the thing is, there's also, like, if you're, that they do for trafficked women, where they, I've seen a lot of TikToks about this, that basically there's a certain type of haircut you can ask for. If you are being trafficked as a woman and you're in, they often take people in to get their hair, to get them cleaned up basically before they traffic them. And the person is sitting there and the person will usually say, I want their get their hair cut, like blah, blah, blah. And they don't really talk. And they're supposed to say, like, I don't remember what it is. Like, maybe it's an angel cut or.
Well, yeah, and I think I didn't realize the history behind that.
It's an angel haircut that you're supposed to ask for if you are in danger at a hair salon.
Right. So this guy hunts them online. It's online dating. And I will say that online dating is very, like, it's scary. And that's why I always would go to Taco Mac, no alcohol during the day, and then have an easy way out. I even would get to the point where I'd sit on the edge of a booth if it was like that, or not sit, just sit in a place where I could get up and go.
He, I think his real name is James, and he portrays himself to the real world as like this regular guy with a good job, a wife, two daughters. I believe that they lived in like Utah. It is heavily, they are... He keeps his wife pretty sheltered.
Yes.
Like they hint around that they're kind of, I don't know if this is the right word, like survivalist. Like she has emergency food that she has been putting away and like for whatever situation. And two little girls. And he spends all of his time. I think she thinks he's down there working. He's like a computer coder, I think. He spends all of his time like in the basement working, but really most of the time is spent creating these relationships with women online that he then cons into meeting him. They post a picture of what the guy looks like, and one of the wife's friends like calls the police, and the police are on, not on to him, but the police come and question him. And he convinces his wife that her friend is just crazy. Like, I told you that, bitch. Like, and they run away to like a cabin that his family owns out in the woods. And she, the ghosts are kind of trying to lead the wife. So they discover that when people are sleeping, that they can talk to the person while they're sleeping. And they like have dreams about, like they think they're dreaming it, but they're like, he's going to kill you. He's going to kill you. He's going to kill you. And like, they can basically sit there. So he goes out into the woods and he's digging graves for her and their two daughters. Mm-hmm. And the ghosts are, he's going to kill you. He's digging your grave. He's going to kill you.
Yes.
He's digging your grave. And it starts to get into their head or her head. And so they try and influence actions that way.
Right. And so then the wife finally gets to the point where she's running away and with the kids. And I remember that being such, when they were in the woods,
Oh my God.
Description of her hiding with the kids was just gut wrenching. And he would get that close. And he knew where they were the whole time because they ran and they got to, I guess, was it another bar or an area?
A bar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only civilization around. And she thinks she's finally safe.
Right. And you know when you're taking that breath of like, you know that it's not over. Like they at least got to a point. Right. Because in this instance, and here's the deal. And I always wondered about this, like when it's obvious that a woman is running, but the man comes and says, oh, she's not on her meds, or we had a bad fight, it'll be okay, or I'll call the doctor, and minimizing and making people believe the thing they want to believe instead of understanding what they're seeing in front of them is the real fucking truth of this woman is running for her life. It says this book will resonate with most women who have encountered a situation where something is just off with a date, or maybe the warning signs are ignored because the women want the date to be special, because don't we all hope for love? Ask for Andrea provides a safe way to get help, but you need to ask for help. Some of the women in the book will be spared, others not. The women who are killed band together to help other women avoid their fate, and in so doing, triumph over evil and find their own redemption. Just three words can mean the difference between life, death, hope, and despair. It's got a lot of great reviews.
Yeah, so in the end, at the beginning, the girl in the bar sees the poster, ask for Andrea, and obviously doesn't, and ends up getting killed. At the very end, when the wife makes it into the bar, she manages to hide her and the girls in the bathroom. And somebody comes into is banging on the door of the bathroom, a woman, and she like opens the door and is like, can you go tell the bar I need to see Andrea? And that's how it all ends and wraps up because they are saved.
Yeah. And I think what I really liked about the book is the subtle way they used the ghosts. Like it wasn't such a overt, but it was you, and they didn't get to connect with the woman right away. They had to keep working at it. Mm-mm. Like it was a process. It was a long process. And they found all the bodies, right? Did they? I found all three of the bodies.
Yeah.
Right? I think that was some redemption.
Yes. Yes. The only thing I found difficult about this book is I don't always pay really close attention to the headings at a chapter that tells you when in time something was set. Like you had to pay attention to not only when in time, but the character. What character am I reading about? When was this?
Were they alive?
Because it would be
yes.
Yeah. 6 months ago, 3 years ago. It's like.
It took a minute to realize that they were different characters. Mm-hmm. It took me a minute to realize, and I heard the audio, that there was more than one narrating that this was happening to her. Then you're getting the idea like, oh, okay, this is what this is going because there's more than one victim.
Yes. Yeah, it was good. Overall, I really enjoyed it. I did go ahead and read, like I said, two of her other books.
What books did you read?
Her name is Noelle West. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Ihli, Ihli. I also read Room for Rent.
Oh.
And I also read Run on Red. Of the two, I liked Room for Rent more than I liked Run on Red.
What is Room for Rent about?
It says the rundown rental house didn't seem so bad at first, but now someone is stealing her food, rattling her bedroom doorknob, digging through her belongings. Each night brings more disturbing incidents, and at night she is more convinced that it's not an intruder. She suspects the culprit is hiding in plain sight, her peculiar roommate of necessity, Sydney. Naya can't afford to live anywhere else. The horrible rental is her only option. In a few months, she'll finish her first semester of college and get the hell out of Dodge. But to her horror, the sinister mind games are just the beginning. And before long, she has to face the possibility that her physical safety may be at risk, maybe even her life. And the truth is more terrifying than Naya could have ever guessed.
So this is an up-and-coming author. We would love to have her. I wish we could get...
I mean, I don't know how up-and-coming. I think she's already, like, up-and-comed.
Yes.
Because she's got, like, 8 or 9... she's got quite a few books.
Well, you know, people can be very prolific, but then when it comes to actually being recognized, that's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
It might take a minute.
It's true.
So...
I started to read The Thicket, and I only read a couple pages and it did not do it for me. And I like,
is that one of her books?
It seemed too dark. It seemed way too, it was too dark. Like when I started to read it, I may give it another try, but,
I know that we do have boundaries. So, some things can be too dark.
Nora's world shatters when a visit to the thicket of fall carnival turns deadly. One of the victims is her younger brother, Brandon. She left him alone in the wooded maze, and that's the last place she saw him alive. So what it is, I think what it is it's too scary of a situation for like me. Basically, it's like, think Halloween haunted house, and all these people thought what they were seeing as they went through this haunted maze
was
and
fake.
See the dead bodies was fake, but it was real. And it was like one of those things where I'm like, I will never unthink this or unsee this. If I read this, I'm done. Cause that's always been my, like people go to Universal, Jesus, Universal, like Hollywood horror theme night type situations, and I'm always like,
I don't do
that. If I were a serial killer, I could like be perfect place to go in and like you know, all the jump scares and the people with the saws. What if one of those freaking people are real? And I think that's what actually creates the fear.
No, I totally freaking agree.
Like, yeah, I cannot.
I don't. Yeah,
I cannot.
All right. Well, that was.
Ask for Andrea. I would say definitely give that book a read.
What would you give it?
And let us know what you
five.
Think.
I would give it a 4, a solid 4.
Four. Yeah. I'd say 4.
We don't usually, like, most of our book talks are pretty good. I think our least favorite was The Perfect Marriage by Geneva.
Yeah.
That was so, like.
Yeah. Stupid. Yeah. It was funny. My friend Kristen reached out to me later recently and was like, oh my God, I just listened to Jake's book.
Mm-hmm. Jake Kaiser.
Why can't I remember? Yep. Jake Kaiser's book, Daffodil Hill. She's like, is that a true story? I'm like, that is truly Jake's life. Yes. And she was like, oh my God.
I wish more. Yeah. That book, that was one of my favorite interviews. We've had a lot of good ones, but that was one of my favorites.
Have you seen the pictures of her new puppy that's at the farm now? Oh my heavens.
I want it.
So sweet. Same type of dog as Luca, her dog that she has that lives on the farm, whose job is to be a farm guard dog. Like,
yes.
And I think her name is Bessette. She's so freaking cute.
Aww.
Cutest.
I will look. All right, friend. It's been a minute.
Yep.
It's been all good, right, though.
It's
been fun. We'll have these will be out. Hopefully we'll get. We're actually going out with people tonight.
Ooh.
I know.
I was with people last night.
So I'm going to go visit James, bring him some Chick-fil-A.
Is he still where you have to take the highway, or has he been moved already?
Oh, I take the scenic route, which takes me more than an hour and 10 minutes to get there. But I just got new tires and brakes on my car, so...
Oh, good.
There's that.
Well, I'm going to see my mom.
Insert reaction.
All right, everyone. Stay
twisted. Let us know how you feel about the book.